And it is time for us to check sports. So we bring in Mike Costi. Good morning, Mike.
Sports. What sport?
I know. Well, there's a couple of interesting stories to talk about. First of all, how are you doing down there in New Jersey?
All right. No problems for me.
Well,
I mean, your mind runs away with you because you're sitting around doing nothing by yourself all day. But I'm all right. I go out, take my walk when the weather's nice, and that's pretty much it. Other than that, it's Groundhog Day.
And you're also doing the tele-learning, right, with students, right?
Yeah, video learning every day. Yeah, we do a lesson every day. They alternate classes, one day on, one day off, and we do a video lesson now. But the video lesson is more to just have some like social interaction than anything else.
All right, and that's going all right. I mean, the students are
new. I mean, you got to chase them around a little bit to make sure that they have their work in and stuff. But for the most part, it's working fine.
All right. Well, let us go on to sports. A couple of things. First of all, of course, I think we all remember Tony Vaselli, right?
The lineman.
Yeah, he has coronavirus.
Had it.
Now. And he talks exactly about. It's a great article about how he went through it. And once again, you have to give Bob Kraft and the New England Patriots a lot of credit. They chartered their own airplane to bring in 1.5 million masks, those masks, back to the United States.
There's a lot of people stepping up.
Absolutely.
Hollywood. You don't see them doing too much, do you?
Yeah, it's an amazing time is all I've got to say. But
Father used to have a saying: "The empty barrels make the most noise," and Hollywood's full of a lot of empty barrels. There's a few people stepping up, but there's a hell of a lot more athletes and people involved with sports stepping up than there are them people in Hollywood.
How about Tom Brady? He's joined in now. He's part of a cause to bring 10 million meals to families in need during the pandemic.
Kind of like what Drew Brees is doing in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty interesting to see how these sports teams and sports people are doing what they're doing. That's really what makes it what it is. It's nice when the good guys and gals in sports step up.
There would have been one team that probably did something if their owner was still alive, and that'd be the Yankees.
Oh, George Steinbrenner, if you were alive, you're darn right. And
they're people, pretty silent, too.
Yeah, George Steinbrenner would have stepped forward, and I bet you there would have been $1 million, $2 million bucks handed out to get masks into New York.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been $1 million or $2 million way, way back. In today's world, he would have put a lot more than $1 million or $2 million in.
All right. Now, Ed Farmer, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He was a Bear player and former White Sox broadcaster. He died at the age of 70. And he was a pitcher in the major leagues. And when people die at the age of 70 and they're athletes, I'm 67, so I become very aware of it. I really do.
Well, that's the other thing, though. Like, you're hearing people died from complications of the coronavirus. But what else was wrong with them?
Yeah.
That's the thing that they're not telling you.
Yeah, there's
and they don't they're very fast to tell you how many people have deceased, but not how many people have survived.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have survived, but there's still
have survived.
Yeah, it's not an automatic death sentence unless you have pre-existing conditions and severe pre-existing conditions if you get coronavirus, it's very, very unlikely that you'll recover. But some have. So it's just one of those weird things. But when you scan the world of sports, what else is there in sports?
Nothing. Yeah. There's nothing going on.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
They're still trying to keep the high school spring sports season alive down here. But you know, right now we're looking toward the end of April. But I saw an article that the state association put out the other day, and they were right. They said, you know, teachers and coaches get paid through the end of June. So that means we can play to the end of June. They're right. They're right. And with the extenuating circumstances of this year, if you can get a season in and it would take you to the end of June to complete it, so be it. Because it's something that people are going to need.
It's people need distractions, so you can't constantly sit at home and think about it. I mean, with me at work, I get up at 3:30 in the morning now. And I do my work. I come into work. When I leave work, I go home and I take a nap because at 2:30 I have to get back up and work from 2:30 until 7, basically with more news stories about the virus and what's going on up here and other news stories. But it's kept me busy where I don't sit and watch TV and everything drones on. I escape in my own way without having to deal with it.
I'm in Groundhog Day. I get up, I put my video online, I do my next one for the next day. Now I have a video conference 3 days a week, so I do that. Then it's lunchtime, then it's nap time, then you're up, watch TV a little more, eat dinner, go to sleep. It's Groundhog Day.
It is, but you know what? Since we started this radio station, it's been my whole life and Jill's whole life since we started it. So basically our life has been coming into the station and then going home and then coming into the station. So we didn't have to really worry about social distancing.
Mm-hmm. But there is one sport that's still alive.
What's that?
Horse racing.
Yeah, all right. Well,
it's down to three tracks right now, but it's strange now because the Kentucky Derby's in September, so everything that was the Kentucky Derby in the spring leading up to it is gone. So all these tracks, well, the tracks that are left have to revamp what they're doing because the normal exodus from Florida is not going to take place because Keeneland's closed, which was supposed to open this weekend. New York's closed. So all the big names and bigger horses are staying put in Florida. So Gulfstream's going to have to readjust their meat a little bit as long as they're running to accommodate these horses. So Gulfstream, Tampa Bay, and Oaklawn Park, they're the only games in town, and boy, are they benefiting from it because there's been some huge money bet every day that the tracks are running into their pools because there's nothing else to do.
All right. Well, do you have any picks for us?
Yeah, like I said, they have to readjust their schedules. I don't have any stakes races, but I did a pick three sequence at the end of the Gulfstream card that has some pretty good races in it for a Saturday that aren't stakes. They're pretty decent races. So we're going to start with the ninth race tomorrow, Gulfstream, which starts at around 4:45. It's a 6-furlong race on the dirt that draws 8 horses. Now, there's a couple of things that I'm going to go through in here, and it should make sense. The horse I like best in here is the one, Mo Beat Ya Bad. It's all one word, so it's a pretty cool-looking name. This horse came out in the Meadowlands first time out on the turf, ran decent, showed some speed, came back off of that. They found a soft spot for him in a maiden 40 at Tampa Bay Downs. They let this horse go, and he won by 13 lengths. It was no surprise as he went off less than even money, but I think that this horse has the rail, has the speed. I think this horse should come home on top in the ninth race tomorrow at Gulfstream. Another horse I'm going to use underneath is the 6 horse, Silvery Enough, trained by Bob Hess. This horse has been running some even races at around the same kind of price. Saez, who was red hot last weekend, he was winning everything in sight, picks up the mount. So I'm going to use this horse underneath. And another horse I'm looking at that has been closing the last two times, ran in the Hutchinson, which is a 3-year-old stake early in the season, and a $75,000 Kleiman race, showed some close in there, is the 3 horse, Peruvian Boy. So I like a 1-3-6 box with the 1 to win in the ninth race at Gulfstream. And you could play a pick 3 in these 3 races because they're all sequential. So that's the reason why I picked these 3 is another reason. The 10th race is a $100,000 claiming race on the turf going 1 mile. And like I said, I was looking at the form last night, and I was saying, you know, a lot of these horses look like they were pointing to run somewhere. And I'm like, well, yeah, Gulfstream's meet was supposed to close last week, and Keeneland opened yesterday. So I think some of these horses were pointing to Keeneland, and if you can find those horses that you think were, those horses are ready to roll. In the 10th race, a horse I like a whole lot is the 3 horse, First Premio. This horse has been off since October when it ran last in the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile at Keeneland, which is their premier turf race in the fall. And this horse got beat for the whole ball of wax at 28-1 by less than a length, closing from 13th to 4th by a third, getting beat. This horse has been working out real good for Mark Case, and like I said, This horse has run and run well at Keeneland, so I think they were pointing him for a stake race opening weekend at Keeneland. However, that didn't happen, and the horse shows up here tomorrow. So First Premio is going to be a big play for me tomorrow at Keeneland, at Gulfstream. I wish it was at Keeneland, in the 10th race. The horse I'm going to use underneath is another horse I think that was pointing to run elsewhere. That's the 9-horse Penalty, trained by Billy Mott. This horse is 2-for-2 in the money at Gulfstream, 5-for-6 at the mile distance, 12-to-1 morning line. See if he goes off at 12-to-1, but I'm going to use him in an exacta. And another horse I'm going to use is the 8-horse, Class and Cash. This horse has run 8 times at a mile with 5 wins and a 3rd. So a couple of mile specialists and a horse I think was pointing elsewhere. So we're going to go with a 3-8-9 exacta box in the 10th, and I'm going to put a few bucks on the 3 to win. And the last race that we'll do is the 11th race. It's a 7-furlong race on the dirt, an optional 75,000 claimer for 3-year-olds. These horses probably would have been prepping for some bigger races, maybe the Bluegrass this weekend at Keeneland. And 2 horses I think that we may have been doing that. One is the 4-horse Sunny Man, trained by Mark Hennig. This horse was off since October. Has some nice tightening works getting ready for a race, like I said, I think at Keeneland. And he will be my top pick in this race tomorrow. 2 horses I'm going to use underneath. One is the 3-horse I'll Fight Dempsey, a Todd Pletcher horse. Has 3 good works coming into this race. Hasn't run since February, but has 3 really, really sharp works at Palm Beach Downs. And that was a real good tightener for this. And the horse down on the rail, the 1, Tomcat Black, broke his maiden in December at Tampa Bay, going 1 mile and 40 yards, cuts back to 70 yards, and this horse has some nice races. So I was thinking these horses were pointing to Keeneland, and if they were pointing to Keeneland, they're ready to run tomorrow at Gulfstream. So the 4, Sunny Man's my top pick, with the 1, Tomcat Black, and the 3, I'll Fight Dempsey, to round out my exactas and tries. So horse racing is the only game in town. You might as well take advantage of it. It's better than watching reruns of I Love Lucy. So just watch some horse racing tomorrow.
All right. I want you to stay safe, and we'll speak to you again next week, Mike.
Yes, sir. Have a great weekend, and everybody stay safe and healthy.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye, guys.
Mike Causey with a check on sports here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find it also online at, of course, robinhoodradio.com on demand.